Jonathan Brooks joins us today on stage at World Cafe Live to talk about The Works, her new album. It's a set of songs she composed from lyrics left by Woody Guthrie and housed in the Guthrie Archives in New York City. Woody's daughter, Nora Guthrie, maintains the archives and has let songwriters in to pick Woody's lyrics to write new melodies to. These have included blues singers and klezmer bands. The most successful collaboration has come with the Mermaid Avenue Project, with songs from Billy Bragg and Wilco. I asked Jonathan Brooks about her experience in the archives, and she talked about a song on The Works called King of My Love, which she referred to as King of My Heart.
This song is called King of My Heart. I think that Woody wrote it for his wife Marjorie when they were living in Coney Island, and it's just a really sweet song, love song. It's very happy and optimistic, which is a real fun thing for me, fun change for me in writing with Woody lyrics. But anyway, the whole song is this sort of poker card metaphor thing, and it was really fun to work on this one.
I'll be the queen of your heart, dear. You'll be the king of my love. I'll deal through that whole deck to find you. You'll wait for my time to come. I lived a lone life, dear, without you. I played a lone hand all the way. I ached when I lost, I pretended to laugh, but I felt more like crying these days. Since you came and stood there beside me, and you told me my best way to play. Your hand touched mine, and the sunshine did shine, and we left that old card house next day. I'll be the queen of your heart, dear. You'll be the king of my love. I'll deal through that whole deck to find you. You'll wait for my time to come. Rough Jack didn't like you to help me. He would kill you if you left with me. Jack's 244s drilled round that door as we backed hand in hand to the street. Jack turned his last slug on his own self. He pitched down on that sawdusty floor. That's why you're the king of my love. That's why I trust cars nevermore. 'Cause I'll be the queen of yours. You'll be the king of my love. I'll deal through that whole deck to find you. You wait for my time to come. I tossed off my card house costume, and I slipped on my sweet cotton dress. You're king of our house here, my darling. No turn of a card hand can wreck. You're king of my big sunny smile now. You're king of these red rosy cheeks. And I'm queen of this cradle that rocks here. No joker can steal me away. I'll be the queen of your heart, dear. You'll be the king of through that whole deck to find you. You'll wait for my time to come. I'll be the queen of your heart, dear. You'll be the king of my love. I'll deal through that whole deck to find you. You'll wait for my time to come. You'll wait for my time to come. You'll wait for my time to come. You'll wait for my time to come.
Thank you.
Jonathan Rook with music from The Works. If you are familiar with the Mermaid Avenue project, where Wilco and Billy Bragg took lyrics from the Woody Guthrie archives and made new songs out of them, that's what's happened with The Works. For the first time, a woman has been in with Woody's lyrics. And were there gender issues on some of the songs?
I did change the gender on that last song. Yeah, it was Queen of My Heart, or Queen of My Love. And I decided that I would make it, you know, from a girl's perspective. I thought that would be more appropriate.
What was the germ of this project for you?
Actually, it was a benefit concert here to benefit the Folk Song Society and also to honor the Guthrie family. And Jean Shea called me. I was in the middle of a tour in the UK and said, "What would you feel about co-owning a song with Woody Guthrie? Would you, you know, want to write a tune with Woody Guthrie?" And I'm like, "Well, how's that going to work?" And he said, "Well, you know, Nora is opening up the archives for this special project, and a few people are going to go in and choose lyrics to premiere at this event." And that was the genesis. And then I got in there, and I fell head over heels in love with Woody Guthrie. Just wow. Totally unexpected, because I didn't know a lot about, I mean, I knew This Land Is Your Land, but
don't we all?
You know, I wasn't a real aficionado, and I absolutely was a goofball in love.
Well, now, Nora is sort of the gatekeeper of the Guthrie Archives, but she also seems to be kind of a guide. Did she direct you towards things she thought might work for you?
She gave me a couple, yeah. And then I just had to see everything.
You know? What was the first one you kind of fell in love with?
The first one I fell in love with was called New Star. Because it just tore me in two. It was on this sort of ripped yellow legal piece of paper from a legal pad, and his handwriting was so labored and impossible to read. Nora had to decipher it for me, and it was written at the bottom. A lot of his songs, he would tell you where he was and what year it was, and sometimes what was going on when he wrote it. But this one said Brooklyn State Hospital, 1954, and I knew that was the year that he had basically checked himself into the hospital, because he was really starting to struggle with the effects of Huntington's disease. And so this was, but he still kept writing. There are napkins and wrapping paper. There's just songs on everything. You can barely read them, and he's drawing artwork all over it all. But here was this song, New Star in Heaven, and the line that just, I totally started bawling was, "When I'm gone, I'll shine bright for you, my new star in heaven tonight." And, you know, I could barely read it, but it just was like, oh, God, I have to write that song. I need that one. Right. So that was one of the first ones.
I guess having the where they were written kind of might have helped you maybe interpret them in some ways. Were there ever songs that you, I mean, you must have had some of your lyrics misinterpreted probably by me over the years, but were they always easy to figure out what they were about?
Pretty much. And I definitely was drawn towards the less topical ones in a way. I was drawn to the love songs and the deeper spiritual kind of yearning songs. And it's funny, because some of them were very early songs. Like there's one called Madonna on the Curb, which is actually that's the most political song on the record, but it was from 1939. But three or four of the songs I chose were from 54, 55, where, you know, he was hardly able to write or sing anymore, but it was more plaintive. And I really responded to the ones where it was just like my battle, show me how to fight my battle in life and I'll run away with you.
And some of them are pretty sexy too.
Well, I was drawn to the sexy ones too. It's funny, because Nora was like, "Well, everyone who comes in here sort of finds their own version of Woody, you know, because he was sexy, he was a pain in the butt, he was, you know, he was all over the map, but he was Woody, and women loved him and men loved him, and he just loved everybody." So, you know, Nora didn't have a problem with the sexier songs.
Neither did our guest, Jonathan Rook. Do you want to stay at the earlier?
Sure, I could do that. This song was one that I found, I forget what year. This is an early, I think he wrote this probably, I want to say 46 or something. I know that he had been a merchant marine at some point, but this was actually written from a woman's perspective, which I thought was wicked cool. Like, how did he know that this girl was just longing for this dude who'd gone to sea? And I imagined him sort of imagining this very drunken girl at home, thinking that her soldier sailor was going to come back, and he probably wasn't. He was just probably on to the next port. And so I kind of sang it with a little bit of a drunken desperation.
my flowers grow green. So pretty to see. My true love has promised to come back to me. He promised to stay for a lifetime through and change my sad flowers to the red, white, and blue. He held me and kissed me, and he swore he'd be mine when he came back last trip from the deep, salty brine. Of summer, my violets for spring, forget-me-nots bloom round my cheeks like a ring. Buttercups and daisies, they were peeping so shy. Nobody can love you as dearly as I. My pinks and my phlox, my 4 o'clocks all. Love vines are climbing round my high garden wall. Kiss another who's prettier than me.
Close enough.
Jonathan Brook, My Flowers Grow Green. You were right about when that was written, according to the notes here on the works.
Oh, good.
It was written in March 1939, and then there were portions of it from 1951.
Yeah.
So does that mean he worked on it twice, or you took parts of different songs?
I took the earlier version, because I would compare it. Sometimes there would be 3 or 4 different versions of a song. He would go back and keep rewriting them, and you could see that he'd had to type them every time on a little, like, Olivetti portable, whatever. Right. But I took the earlier version. It was more poignant. more desperate.
I was thinking of you co-writing, because you're not a stranger to that. But this is kind of a different kind of co-writing. Was it freeing to not have to labor the lyrics so much?
It was freeing, and obviously he wasn't there to talk back, so I was able to. Nora was just lovely with allowing me on a few songs to merge things that I would find. I would like the chorus of My Battle. Is from a notebook, from a journal from, I think, 1954. No, the journal was 46. And the original lyric is from 54, from the Brooklyn State Hospital, where it's just, it's barely legible again. And he's saying, you know, show me how to fight my battle and I'll run away with you. And then I was reading through a bunch of his journals and I found this like gem. It just popped off this page and it said, I never dread the day I will die because my sunset is somebody's morning sky. And I was like, whoa. Yeah. So I asked Nora if it would be okay if that became, you know, the chorus for my battle. And so she was lovely about allowing me to work with the lyrics so that they felt more contemporary for me, so that there wasn't just 20 verses. It was, there would be like, you know, a bridge or a chorus or some kind of musical destination that I could sort of make it more textural for myself.
You want to do another one? Another of these new ones? As Jonathan switches back to guitar.
This is a song that actually was a composite of, I think, three different sources. There was a song called Sweetest Angel, and it felt incomplete. He may even have written at the end of the song, finish later. So I sort of took that as permission to seek elsewhere for perhaps another section or two. So it's a combination of Sweetest Angel and then a little blurb that I found somewhere and another sort of prose thing that he called Clock. And the sweetest story is that Nora, who's Woody's daughter, her daughter Anna, has a baby who's about a year and a half old. And when she first heard the song, she sort of was like, oh my God, he sent this to me. You know, this is my song for my baby from Grandpa. And I thought that was so moving to me. And she would sort of dance around her kitchen holding her daughter and sing this song.
This world is made of love. sweetest angel. Sweetest angel.
Thank you.
Sweetest Angel, another collaboration between our guest, Jonathan Brook, and Woody Guthrie, who's not here with us today. And
The whole time I was writing, I felt like there was this surge, this presence in the room, and I couldn't, it was the longest sort of extended period of lovely creativity I've ever experienced. Because usually when I'm writing a record, I have to go deep into the plow of despair and suffering and depression, and I sit on the couch and I think I suck and I'm never going to be able to write another song, and who was I to think I could do this, and I'm such an imposter. And this time it was just this wave that I got on top of, and it just was I couldn't wait to get to work every day to either go to the archives or just sit in front of my piano or my guitar, and something else would just pop right out and it would just be there. It was so fun.
Well, as I say, if you listen to it, it sounds like one of, it shows how much your music depends, we're always analyzing your lyrics, but how much of it depends on your incredible sense of melody, and your, it really works well with you, so
Thank you. Give it up
for Jonathan on this project, definitely.
Thanks.
Lisa, that was my takeaway from listening to this. Well, okay, now Glenn Phillips, who sang that one with you, is not here, and Kev Moe, who sang one with you, is...
Jonathan. That was actually one of the ones that Nora handed me first.
Oh, really?
All you got to do is touch me. She said, I've been dying for somebody to come do this song, so what do you think? So, yeah, that's why I called Kev
Moe. I think that was when I was talking about a sexy song. That's a good one. But there's another singer who, Eric Bazillion, it's too bad he's not here.
You know what? Eric might be in the house.
What?
He just might be. I mean, he does live in Philadelphia, after
all.
This
is all true.
How could I not call him if I actually came to Philly? And
yeah.
Eric?
Hey.
You're hiding. Oh, yeah, you should probably tune. Should I tell a little story about this?
Please do, yeah.
I came across this song in the archives, and I... Actually, the postscript was almost longer than the lyric itself that Woody had written. He said, you know, I'd always wanted to see the sea, and one night I finally saw the sea, and it, you know, this feeling came over me like, all, you know, whenever inspiration takes over from wherever inspiration comes from, and, well, the girl I was with, well, she'll remember her name better than I will, but she remembers too, and so this is about her. It's like Woody's version of Love the One You're With, but... You know, from 1939 or something, 1940. Oh, it's called There's More True Lovers Than One. One, two, three, four. Look out across that sea and see those breakers swell. How many a heart it's washed away, no human tongue can tell. Nobody had ever solved that dark sea's mystery. How many a love is bloomed and blown, same as you and me. 'Cause there's more true lovers than one. There's more true lovers than one. Cast out aside by every tide. There's more
rise. True love comes in like an ocean tide, and like the wind it flies upon the 'cause there's more true lovers in one. There's more true lovers in one. Cast that aside by every tie. There's more true lovers than one.
Moon so high above sees many a kiss exchange.
Bazillion.
And Jonathan Brook with another amazing song from The Works. Jonathan, thank you so much.
Thank you so much. What a treat to be here.